Now, Dr. Joan Kenley, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway, brings you Conversation Radio.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley. Welcome everyone to our show today. Our theme is coaching for personal change, and I am so glad you're tuned in for this important topic. Before I introduce you to our guest, Pamela Weiss, I'd like to give you some background about the field of personal coaching and define how we'll be focusing on it for our conversation. Coaching came into its own in the 80s, fed by the human potential movement, therapy practices, and business consulting. People from all walks of life are now hiring coaches to assist them in achieving a variety of personal and professional goals. The growth in coaching is evidenced by the increasing number of coaches joining the International Coaching Federation, the association that sets ethics and standards for the coaching profession, and it also certifies coaches. The work can be described as an ongoing partnership that helps clients produce fulfilling results in their lives. Through the process, clients deepen their learning, improve their performance, and enhance their quality of life. People frequently ask, how is coaching different from therapy? Well, if you compare coaching to psychological models, for example, one might say that therapy focuses on issues of pathology, healing, and unresolved issues of the past. Coaching, on the other hand, begins with the present and assists clients in setting specific goals that they want to achieve in the future. While the past may be discussed on occasion, it's addressed only in the context of discovering what's blocking the client from moving forward. The focus is on movement and taking action. There is also a different protocol in the delivery of coaching. There can be telephone sessions, emails, or even face-to-face meetings over lunch or during a walk. There can be a mutual decision to have a session for an hour or for 5 minutes. Some coaching and some therapies involve spiritual integration in the process, and others do not. The training time for a coaching license can vary, but becoming a licensed therapist is a much longer educational process. Many coaches enter the profession, however, with a variety of related study or degrees, including psychology. Now I'd like to tell you about our accomplished guest. Pamela Weiss is a meditation teacher and professional coach who studied Dr. Almas's Diamond Heart work for many years, as did I, and she is now a teacher in training with Jack Kornfield through the Spirit Rock Meditation Center in Marin. Pamela is president of her own company, An Appropriate Response, and a senior course leader with New Ventures West, a coach training organization based in San Francisco. She coaches leaders, executives, as well as many other clients who choose her services. She also offers meditation classes, workshops, and retreats inside and outside organizations. The focus of her work is the integration of spiritual practice into the nitty-gritty of everyday life to cultivate mindfulness, presence, and work-life balance. So, welcome, Pamela. First of all, I'd like to ask you what interested you in the professional coaching field and what brought you to the place in your life where you said, this is my calling. This is what I want to do.
I came to coaching out of years of training and training people in listening skills, training people in how to work with other people. And so coming into coaching myself was really a natural offshoot of that process. I worked for years for an organization in the East Bay called the Women's Cancer Resource Center, running training programs for volunteers and who were trained to be advocates for women with cancer. And
that would be a powerful job to have, for sure.
Yeah. And from that, I found that I really loved working with people one-on-one, but wasn't sure that I really wanted to be a therapist.
I can understand that choice.
Yeah.
Even though I had been a therapist myself over the years, but you see, all of us have a different calling, and we can sort of figure that out as we go along.
Yeah, and for me, it was kind of more stumbling into, I would say.
Well, and that, I think, the listeners will appreciate, is how many great careers are founded by stumbling in sideways, backways, forwards, whatever.
Right. Yeah, and I did what many people do when they're looking for their next career and did a series of informational interviews, and one person led to the next, and eventually I was introduced to James Flaherty, who is the founder of New Ventures West.
Yes, indeed.
Training program I work with in mm-hmm. San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And when I met him, I thought, wow, I want to do that. And then,
great.
You know, now it's almost 10, 11 years later, and I am doing it.
Well, it's always inspiring to hear that people have an intention, follow through, and then get to enjoy the riches of following that path.
So the other piece of my background that contributes to my interest in coaching is years of spiritual practice.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I came to New Ventures West actually out of, I had spent 5 years living and training at San Francisco Zen Center. So I lived at Green Gulch Farm and Tassajara,
sure.
which is Zen Center's mountain monastery. And when I came out of that, I really wanted to find a way to bring the riches, as you said, of that practice and that perspective of and about the world out into the world from the, you know, sort of deep in the heart of the woods.
Sure.
And coaching, as it's turned out, has just been a fabulous vehicle for that. For me,
it would be a good vehicle, and I think that when we have found our direction in life, it seems we can't keep it to ourselves anymore. We
right.
have to share it with others, and that's a sign of a rather mature idea of life. And of course, that's what we're talking about in professional coaching, is mature ideas for people who are questing for meaning in their lives.
Right. And part of it for me was at the heart of the Zen Buddhist tradition is this archetype of the Bodhisattva, who is someone who dedicates their lives to helping alleviate suffering.
Exactly.
And for me, coaching felt like, well, isn't this a terrific way to do that? Isn't this a terrific way to make that happen in the world?
When you talk about suffering, and we're not talking about people who are hungry or people who don't have jobs, we're talking about a suffering that happens for people in everyday life. And many times in growth programs, we learn that suffering is going on at an unconscious level, and people are so busy with the activities of life that they aren't doing questioning about whether they have found true happiness, true meaning,
mm-hmm.
true exploration of what could be a life that is more fulfilled.
Right. And I find that quite a range in the people I work with. Some people come to work with me specifically because they're in the middle of that question.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a very successful life and a successful career, and lots of wonderful things have happened, and they're saying, now what?
Or is that all there is?
Yes, there must be something more, exactly. And a lot of people come to me in that regard because they know of the many years of spiritual practice and background that I have. Other people, particularly when I work inside organizations, often that's not where we start at all.
No, I wouldn't imagine.
It's more like, I just got promoted and I'm flipped out, I don't know what to do, or something hurts, you know, something's not working very well.
What used to work doesn't work now.
Exactly. In the environment where there's so much change happening constantly. And regardless of whether someone comes stating that they're trying to get away from an ouch or they're reaching for something, I'm always listening for more what you were describing, which is, what's the real longing in this person that they may not have even articulated for themselves?
And I think people are giving themselves away to the busyness of life, too. In other words, there's sort of abdication from deep heart meaning,
right.
because I must take care of the family, I want to take care of my work, the things at work are important, I must be the person who does,
right.
instead of the person that has a chance to quietly reflect on what is this life all about.
Right, and that's a huge place that working with a coach and engaging in a coaching program can create an intentional place to do that work.
What age range people seem to come with these questions and these needs and asking for your work?
Well, I mean, I have a huge range, but mid-30s to just before I came over here, I got off the phone with a client who's, I think, 71. So quite a range of ages, but often they're people who are at the kind of peak of their work life, of their success, or just are having reached that, are now saying, as you said, now what?
Mm-hmm.
So I got all these things and it's all been very successful and wonderful, but something's missing.
So would that be 50s, 60s?
I would say Yeah, 40s to 60s.
Yes.
I mean, late 40s and on up, mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm. Although I have worked with a number of clients who are younger, and often in that case, you know, I've worked with a number of new mothers who are trying to juggle their home life and their work life, those kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm. I think in the past, young mothers have been thrown into motherhood without any training at all in school or in college or at home. And it's such a blast into their energy system to find out what to do with their babies. And unless they have women around them in women's circles or friends or relatives to help them structure the new adventure with a child, it can be quite awesome to find out where you're going to find yourself in taking care of the child,
right,
or children, as it would the case might be.
Well, I think for me that's the sort of centerpiece, I would say, of coaching, which is this idea that we don't need to do it by ourselves, and we live in a culture that has a very high puts a very high price on that. Like, we should all be able to do it ourselves and pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, all of that. And in fact, none of us can do anything by ourselves.
No, it's all relational, isn't it?
Yes. And we have a culture where there's been a lot of breakdown of some of the traditional forms of family, of community, of support that people have. And so coaching is also stepping in to fill in for some of that, I think.
And I think also because there are so many self-help books and programs and comments in the media about how you can have it all and do it all. And I think one of the hardest things for people to hear is that you can be or do whatever you want to be if you want it hard enough or strong enough. And I couldn't be a championship ice skater at my age.
Right.
Forget about it.
Right.
But it gives a wrong message, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I actually think it's one of the negative sides of kind of theme that's run through the coaching profession, which is sort of coaching as cheerleading.
Oh, yeah.
And rah-rah, you can have it all. You can do just think good thoughts, just be positive, just. And personally, all of that just makes me cringe because there's such a horrible shadow side of it.
Well, there's a breakdown because if you don't get what you're dreaming about in that way, then you, or not you, but people in general think that they have failed because they haven't followed that mold that everybody told them they could follow.
Right. That's what's wrong with me.
Yeah. We have much more to talk about: how professional coaching affects you personally, what are you looking for in your life, what is the meaning behind all of the things we're talking about today? Well, do stay tuned.
You found it, and it's different. The Joan Kenley Show. What's not to love about The Joan Kenley Show, where talking truly matters.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, welcoming you back to The Joan Kenley Show. Our theme today is coaching for personal change, and Pamela Weiss is our expert guest. She is president of her own company called An Appropriate Response and a senior course leader with New Ventures West, a coaching training organization based in San Francisco. Pamela, would you please tell us about the various professional coaching methods that are available today and why there seems to be such a hunger for it?
I came into the coaching field kind of, I would say, before the coaching boom hit. So when I started...
When did the boom hit, by the way?
When I started, which was 12 plus years ago, and I would tell people that I was coaching, they had no idea what I was talking about.
Interesting.
They would say, soccer or baseball?
Not that.
No, but now it's much, much more common. And I remember in the early days, there were really only a very small handful of coach training organizations. And now there are dozens, if not hundreds of them, all across the country.
Amazing.
So it's really blossomed in a big way. And that has both, of course, its upside and downside.
So how would you describe that?
Well, the upside is that hopefully people are getting supported in ways that they weren't before, because there is this alternate way in to support people other than consulting, other than a therapeutic approach. And clearly there's a hunger for it, or it wouldn't be growing at the rate that it is. The downside is that, you know, I always say if you scratch a dozen coaches and ask them what they'll do, you get 12 very, very different answers. Because people have a huge range of what they're doing that they're calling coaching.
Just the same as therapy, it has an enormous range.
Yes, that's right. And yet, in most, if you ask a therapist what they'll do, they'll usually be able to tell you, well, here's my approach, here's my perspective, here's the lineage that I come out of.
True.
That sometimes is true in coaching and often not. Often it's a person who has been a successful business leader, for example, themselves, and is now going on to coach, or often it looks more like consult
offer coaching.
To others. And some of those folks are fabulous, and some are not so fabulous.
Because that's not their calling.
Yes, right. So what I see when I look out in the field of coaching is that essentially there's sort of two poles on a continuum. And on one side, there's the expert model, which tends to look a lot like consulting.
And so where does that expert model come from?
I think it comes from the consulting model. So a lot of people who have been consultants are now calling themselves coaches, but they're working with people individually, but what they're doing is not so different from what they did as a consultant, which was to dole out tidbits of wisdom and expertise and advice. Mm-hmm. And of course, that can be helpful, but it's pretty much like consulting. And the attitude is, I know and you don't.
Well, that's not a good attitude.
Well, I mean, some cases, of course, like you said about ice skating, if I'm the ice skating teacher, I know something about ice skating and you don't.
Well, that's
you
want
to know what I have to teach you.
That is true. Except I'm not even going.
Right, that's right. Yes. But so that's on one end of the spectrum.
Sure.
The other end of the spectrum is what I sometimes call somewhat facetiously the sort of Northern California New Age coaching approach, which is this idea that you are perfect and whole and you have all the answers already within you, and all I have to do if I'm the coach is ask you lots of questions.
Mm.
But if we stay with the ice skating example, I could ask you questions about ice skating until I'm blue in the face and so are you.
And I'm really blue.
Yeah,
yes.
And it's just going to create frustration.
Sure.
Because you actually don't know something about that particular topic. So where I land in that is somewhere in between. And it's really, I draw very much from pretty much three streams. The mainstream in my coaching methodology and approach is from New Ventures West, which is looking at coaching not so much as advice giving, not so much as just asking questions, but assuming that each one of us, as we move through our lives, is paying attention to certain things and not paying attention to other things. And so it's the coach's job to listen deeply enough that we hear where a person's not paying attention and then help them build capacity, help them build competence to become skillful in those areas.
Because people can be deflated about not having a skill set and not know what to do about getting that skill set. And
mm-hmm.
so basically you're offering them structure and professional training in a way in those things that they feel they need to shore up.
Yeah, although I would say that it's less skill specific. So, for example, you could go to a training class and learn typing. So I'm your coach, I'm not going to teach you how to type.
No.
But I'm going to be looking at what's your attitude toward typing. And what are you paying attention to and what are you not, so that it's getting in your, what's getting in your way of being able to learn how to type?
But I think a skill set is being able to focus.
Mm-hmm.
I think a skill set is being able to pay attention and become self-aware. So that's how I was
mm-hmm.
using
okay.
that part. So as we look at focusing and awareness and what we're trying to become more awake about, do you have any examples of a client, for instance, that went through this process with you and learned what you wanted them to learn?
Yeah. So generally when people come in for coaching, they either are wanting to get to some place that they're not yet,
mm-hmm.
or they're feeling deficient or not as capable or not as able in something that they want to be capable and able in, or they're just feeling stressed and they're not sure what to do about it.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that these days.
Yes, exactly. And my aim is to really look for, here's a way to talk about it. So there's a person
mm-hmm.
and there's a topic, and I'm looking for how is the person relating to the topic. So as the example I gave before, one way of relating to a topic is I have to do it all myself.
definitely a topic.
Yes. So if I'm listening to that way of they're relating to their topic, I'm going to present an alternative, which is, well, maybe the capacity that's needed is learning how to make requests, is learning how to call on others for support, is etc. So then it gives the person, I'm not going to resolve their topic, which I might do if I was a consultant, and I'm not going to delve into their whole personal history, which I might do if I was a therapist. But in the present time, mm-hmm. can I see what the relationship is between a person and a topic?
Right.
And then can I help them find an alternate way that opens some new possibilities for them?
And can you give us an example of someone?
Yeah, so I'm thinking of a wonderful client who I worked with who was a very successful leadership development consultant inside a large organization, had a couple of kids, stepped out of that life, and was really kind of struggling to balance her work life and home life, also looking to balance her work life with her creative life. She's a painter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The final piece was that she was really wanting to deepen her own spiritual development. So what it turned out was one of the ways of relating that was a linchpin for all of that was that she found that she was stuck with a very, very strong internal critic.
And that's a tough one, isn't it?
And very common.
And I think it's the biggest disease in the world, if you want to know the truth. People putting themselves down, having negative self-talk. In my own work, I would ask people to write down how many times a day they put themselves down. And I said, guess how many times? And they'd say, oh, around 10, 12, 15. It would be 200.
Right.
It's amazing what people do internally on a daily basis that's negative, and it actually reduces their energy and their creativity and their ability to move forward.
Right. So one of the things that we do in coaching is to help, there's sort of two steps. The first is to help a person become more aware of what's happening. So in her case, I had her do a lot of observing, just like you're describing, about how does the critic work and where does it show up and what does it say and what's the impact on my body and my energy and all of that. But then in addition to that, we began to have her engage in practices that built her internal strength. Her physical strength, her emotional strength, her relational strength, so that when it came time to be engaged with this critic, she wasn't just falling over anymore. She built some new capacity.
Which it has to happen or it will never change.
Right. So again, I didn't help her figure out how to do her art, and I didn't help her figure out how to take care of her kids. What I did was look for what's a capacity that I can help her build that will then impact all of these areas.
Perfect.
And in fact, that's what happened.
Oh, that's a great story. Wonderful success. Because actually, that's what works in professional coaching, even if it's on a personal level, as it was with this woman who still was in business, still a mother, but she needed to have that spotlight
yes.
on what it was that was the, as you say, the linchpin of all the other things that were happening in her relational life. And I would like you to say a little bit more about how your coaching might be different from other people's at New Ventures West. I mean, don't you have a specific niche that you sort of have for yourself? Because everybody is different
right.
in the way they are coming into it, their background, the love of following certain stringing of the beads, they might call it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I would say I would probably be more like other people who are trained at New Ventures West than not. But the particular piece that I bring, again, has to do with all of the training that I've had in Buddhist practice in the Diamond Approach. Mm-hmm. So that adds a whole other element.
Well, this is the first time you've mentioned the Diamond Approach, which I also know and have been part of. But could you explain to our audience what that is?
Yeah, I would describe it as a psycho-spiritual program and training for learning how to move out of our habitual tendencies and habits of our personality into a more and more authentic and whole essential self.
Keep listening for more Conversation Radio about coaching and decide for yourself whether you need a coach in your life. Stay tuned.
The Joan Kenley Show, talk radio your way. Dr. Dr. Joan Kenley, taking talk radio to the next level.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley with a conversation today about coaching for personal change. We're happy to have Pamela Weiss as our guest. She coaches leaders, executives, as well as clients from all walks of life who choose her services. Pamela, when someone makes a phone call to you and says, I want to consider you as a coach, how do you decide whether you're a good fit?
Yeah, it's a great question. Because I've been doing this for a while, I'm at a different place in the trajectory than I was when I first started, where I would take anybody because I wanted practice. And at this point, I have a fairly rigorous screening process. So I get a lot from people just when they contact me initially by how it is that they're asking me to engage with them. A lot of people come in asking me to be an accountability partner. A less polite way to say it is they're asking me to kick them in the butt and get them going.
Oh, what a bad job that would be.
Exactly. And I always say, I understand that that's what you think you want, but let me give you an alternative way that we could work. And I talk about what's possible. I talk about working developmentally, working in an integral way, in a multiple aspects of their life. And if they're still interested after that, then I'll take the next few steps. If they keep insisting, no, 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 I just want you to fix me, or I just want you to kick me in the butt, then that's probably not the right match for me. And I'll tell a person that right away.
And if a person comes to you and has a personal meeting or a meeting over the telephone, what are the questions they should ask of you to find out if you're right for them?
I think that it's important to ask of a coach, what's your background, what's your training, what's your approach to coaching, why do you like coaching? Really, what is it that you think coaching can have happen? Mm-hmm. That's essential. But more important than that, I think even in an initial conversation, that a really skilled coach should be able to listen well enough and ask questions that open something new for the client. And if that happens for you as a client looking for a coach, you say, oh, yes, that's what I want. I want more of that.
Right, right.
That's how you can tell there's a match.
Well, I'm wondering if people know how much you might ask of people in the coaching process. For instance, there needs to be some kind of understanding, doesn't there, in the relationship that you're not going to kick them in the butt. We've already established that. But what other kinds of things should they bring to the situation?
Right. That's really also very important, because unlike other modes of consulting or sometimes in therapy, a huge percentage of what happens in coaching happens between sessions. Mm-hmm. And so my job, I think, as a coach, is to listen really well and to keep hearing and reframing and offering new possibilities, offering new ways of seeing. But once that happens, that's not generally enough. So insight is pretty easy. What's needed to take that insight and turn it into action, turn it into new behavior, is practice.
And that's a self-discipline that you're asking from them. And self-discipline for many people is really challenging, isn't it?
Yes, and it's not self-discipline just like, go do this yourself.
Of course not.
It's happening in the context of the relationship. And it's happening in the context of, do you see why we're asking you to take this particular thing on in the service of? It always has to be tied to what it is the person cares about. And then my job is to come up with practices and reflective exercises and readings that support the person in moving toward whatever it is they want to move toward, and doing that in a way that also fits their life.
As you speak about what you do, it's clear that you have a language that's inviting as a coach, that, as you say, opens doors, opens hearts, opens the creative process to change, because change is not easy,
right,
in the way that it sounds when you announce it, as if one might in an advertisement,
right,
come for 2 weekends and we'll change your life. I just cringe when I hear the things like that. But I think it takes a certain courage to make the decision to even enter a professional coaching process, because people have to be willing to trust and to be in relationship and to be vulnerable and to let things be revealed that maybe they're afraid of.
Right. That's right. And it is. It's a big commitment. And I, at this point, I actually send out both a cover letter and a self-assessment that I ask people to complete before we even do a formal intake process.
And what's the assessment consist of?
Oh, I ask them lots and lots of questions about, you know, what's the topic you want to work on? What have you tried so far to address it? Why do you think coaching can help? I ask them to give me some reflection about many, many different domains of their life, from their relationships, their finances, their work life, their spiritual life, so that I have a background picture and understanding of the person. And then when we actually engage in the initial conversation, there's a lot to work with already. And I also send them a letter that says a lot of what I've just said to you, which is, you know, coaching is a relationship that we engage in together. It requires commitment. It requires a kind of dedication. I'm going to ask you to do a lot of stuff. I will be completely, you know, dedicated and devoted to you and your growth, but I'm going to ask the same of you. And so often people get scared off because sometimes people come into coaching and they think, well, I just want you to give me some advice.
And to fix me.
Exactly. And I'm saying, if you could find that from somebody else, but not from me.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that makes so much sense. And frankly, I think at the level of work that you're doing with people, you probably have a great deal of pleasure and a great deal of excitement about watching people who can actually take on your process and work it well and have a much more fulfilled life, a much better way of working through their life challenges because of what you're offering them in the relationship.
Yes, that's really true. And I feel like for having done this for a decade now, I have so many examples in my body, really, in my cells, of working with people over time and seeing places where they were frustrated, where they were stuck, where they were confused, and what happens on the other side. And right. So I can speak with very honest affirmation and excitement about what's possible because I know it's possible. I've seen it happen dozens and dozens of times. It's quite a wonderful and you know, I'm so happy to get to be doing this kind of work. It's a real gift.
It is a gift to do that work. And we are always happy to hear that because the audience will know more about coaching because of your passion about it. And so it's great. I want to tell everyone that coaching does ask some important commitments from you when you decide to engage in the process. For instance, focus. Focus on yourself, the tough questions, and the hard truths. And then the coach will want you to listen to your intuition, assumptions, judgments, and how you sound when you speak. And then there's self-discipline to challenge your existing attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors, and to develop new ones. And they'll ask you to have decisive actions, even if that makes you feel uncomfortable or it brings up, maybe, personal insecurities. And then there's compassion for yourself in the process of change, and compassion for others who are trying to do the same. That's a really important one. And then, of course, humor to lighten and brighten your process every day. And then courage. Oh, that's so important, to reach for what you're intending, for your heart's desire. We have so much more to talk about. What's possible with coaching, and could it work for you? Don't go away.
Ready for more? Dr. Joan Kenley continues in a moment. Log on to joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y to learn more and listen to archived shows. Invite your friends and family to listen to The Joan Kenley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Joan Kenley, and you're listening to our show on Coaching for Personal Change. Our guest is Pamela Weiss. She's a meditation teacher and professional coach who is president of her own company called An Appropriate Response. Pamela, you have a wonderful image to describe coaching that you were mentioning during the break. Why don't you share that with our audience now?
Yeah, well, I think sometimes, as I was saying before, that people aren't always aware of what's really possible with coaching. And so the image that I use often is that I ask people to imagine that they're looking at the sky through a straw. So you can see the limitation in
yes,
that image.
I love it.
So if a person's looking at the sky through a straw, are they seeing the sky? Well, yes, they are. But are they seeing the whole sky? Definitely not.
Definitely not.
So the image gives a sense of what it is that a coach can offer, which is the first to be able to, as I described earlier, listen well enough to understand which part of the sky is this person focusing on. In other words, what are they paying attention to?
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, in a way, what are they not paying attention to? What's outside their straw? And the coach's job is then to continue to offer, we call in New Ventures West language, distinctions, often new ways of seeing, often new framing, new perspectives that helps open up the sky so they can see more of the sky. And once they do that, then they're able to take new action. Then they're able to engage with themselves, with other people, with the world in a whole variety of new ways.
We could call it opening your sky coaching.
That would be good.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because the name of my company, Inappropriate Response, is also one of the ways that I think about what coaching is fundamentally about, which is, again, people may come saying, I've got this problem or that problem, or I want to accomplish this or that. But I feel like what people are really asking for is not get me here or fix that, but how do I respond appropriately?
Mm-hmm.
How can I see clearly enough and engage with myself and other people in the world in a way that I can continually respond in an appropriate way to the constantly changing flux of my life?
Well, reactions are so built in. They are so entrenched inside of ourselves. And there is a philosophy that we are automatic human beings in a way once we are developed as children, that we are going to react in certain ways and that that's not changeable, which of course becoming more aware makes some of that change possible, but we may still have that core intention to respond or react in a certain way. And people think that their reactions are who they are and that they identify with that. But let's say reactions can get you in a lot of trouble, especially if they're negative reactions. And so the appropriate way to look at what you're calling appropriate reactions would be through this process of awakening another part of the sky
mm-hmm.
to the individual.
Mm-hmm. Opening up a new possibility. And then again, as I said, supporting that with giving people practices so that it's not just a new insight,
no.
but that it actually becomes embodied in as new behavior.
Right. An insight does not take you very far.
No.
If you wake up with the same troubles and behaviors, because habit is habit.
Right.
And I remember when I was in sixth grade, I had a teacher that said that if you have a habit and you take off the it and you go backwards with the word, you still have it. I forget whether it's forwards or backwards. But anyway, she said at the time that it took 6 weeks to change a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably true.
Right. And that's why just talking is not enough. And that's why, as I said earlier, so much of the real work in coaching happens outside the coaching sessions. It happens between sessions as clients are beginning to observe themselves in new ways and take on new behaviors.
Well, give us some of the in-between things that people do between your sessions.
Well, again, so I'll use a little bit of the New Ventures West languaging of this. There's sort of two categories. One is that we ask people to engage in what we call self-observation exercise. So asking them to observe themselves in a particular way as they go through the day. So they might observe, a simple example would be how often they're interrupting
mm-hmm.
as they go through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might observe how often they're holding themselves back. Or they might observe many, many things like that. And what's interesting about this is that most of us have a story about how we're engaging with life.
But and we believe the story to be true.
Yes, but often that story doesn't actually match up with how we're actually functioning.
Exactly so.
And so that's asking people to observe in real time how they're showing up as opposed to staying caught in the story that they have about how they are. So that's part one, asking people to do self-observation.
And this is in your home life or your work life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in doing a self-observation, of course, you gain all kinds of interesting insight and information about yourself. But as a secondary, and sometimes I think of it really as a primary piece, is you're also teaching people how to self-observe. You're actually teaching people to pay attention to themselves in a new way.
So, and it's adding another layer to be here now, or in the moment now, right, which was so popular in the 60s
right.
with Ram Dass. But this is actually has more framing to it.
Yeah, and it's very particular. You're asking people
yes.
to pay attention in a particular way,
absolutely.
Not just pay attention.
Exactly, because
not that helpful.
In some of the questions I used to ask people who came to me for voice training, for the speaking voice, I'd say, have you been told to center yourself by anybody? And they'd say, oh, yes. And I'd say, well, where is that? Oh, I don't know. You know. So you can become very body specific, for instance, in the training, and people can learn where they feel, whether they're centered in their belly or their heart or their solar plexus.
So that's part of the New Ventures West model, is that we're looking to help people shift what's going on in their internal world. We're also looking to work with them in terms of their body and their physicality. We're looking to work with them also in terms of their communication and their relationships. And finally, we're looking to work with them in the external world, in the world of things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is based on...
And what does
on,
that actually mean, the world of things?
How are people dealing with things like money,
okay,
like their schedule,
mm-hmm,
like what does their physical space look like?
Mm-hmm.
What does their office look like? What kind of management systems do they have in place? So these four pieces, the internal world, the body, the world of relationships, and the world of things, comes from Ken Wilber's work.
Sure. It sounded
so
familiar.
It's part of the integral model that is what the New Ventures West process is based on. It's called integral coaching.
Right.
So we're always looking to pay attention to where is a person paying attention and where are they not.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many people think that the way to be successful is just to go inside and find their own answers, but they're not paying attention to their body, they're not paying attention to their communication, or the other way around. People think the way to be successful is to have a big car and lots of money, and then they wonder why
they're not
happy.
Right.
So our aim as a coach is to listen for where a person's hanging out, but then also to design practices in multiple quadrants, in multiple domains, so that there's a holistic way in which a person moves forward and develops.
Well, the integral approach is important because we're learning in the health industry, too, that you have to have integral health with standard and alternative practices. And we realize that businesses have to have integral approaches. They can't just be bottom line, but they want to look at what keeps people in the organization. I mean, a few years ago, CEOs were turning around in 3 years and moving on to another organization.
Right.
And we were talking before, I think, about how valuing people is a part of the organizational work that you're doing, too.
Yeah, and what I've seen a lot is that where I've gone in and worked inside organizations, often I've had the great opportunity to work with people who are quite different than me, who are very, they work in IT, or they're engineers, or they're very science, math, technical oriented, which is not my strong suit at all, but it makes for a great marriage in a way, because what they're really good at and what they're not so good at is the opposite in me. And
exactly.
Organizations are finding that it doesn't matter what a brilliant engineer you are, if you don't have basic communication skills or if you don't have basic self-care skills, you're going to burn up. You know,
Without
in terms
question.
Of your career.
Right.
So coaching can really, really be helpful in that way. And I've had a chance to work with inside a number of organizations where I've worked with a group of engineers or a group of IT folks. And for me, it's just delightful at this point.
I would think so.
They often takes them a little while to get used to me. But I see that as part of my job, is to find a way to bridge or translate those worlds.
Sure.
And once, these are often very, very smart people, and once they start picking up those skills and those capacities in paying attention to their body, paying attention to how they're communicating, starting to be able to self-observe and self-reflect, tremendous transformation happens. For them, for their teams, and for the organization.
I don't doubt that at all. And in fact, I wanted to ask you if you experience a difference between coaching women in organizations at a high level and men in organizations at a high level.
Oh, that's a great question. well, I hate to say this, but in many ways, women at high levels in organizations look a lot like men look at high levels at organizations.
Well, that can happen.
There is a whole, though, extra layer of stress in that for the women. And what I found is that when I've worked with women who are in high level positions, there's a kind of shell, a successful shell of how they present and how they've had to, what they've had to become. But as I get to know them underneath that, there tends to be a whole array of untended to parts of their life, around relationships, family,
right,
body, all of that. And so I've seen a lot of hunger, mm-hmm, in women in particular.
I would imagine so. Based on my experience, I have also seen that happen. And I have also seen men at the CEO level be much more skeptical that they can be helped. And I think men are finally seeing that there are doors to be opened for them that were not part of what my father would have done or your father would have done, probably. I don't know.
And one of the things, one of the places that I see the biggest opening in working with actually men or women, but more men, more often men, is that there's so much isolation at the top.
Well, we know coaching can not only help those who are lonely or isolated at the top, but anyone who wants to pursue the benefits of reaching certain goals with the support and strategies offered by licensed personal coaches. Unfortunately, we have to end on that note because we're out of time. I'm so grateful you could be here, Pamela, to explain how people's lives can truly be changed by choosing a personal coach. I'd like to say to everyone tuned in, thanks so much for listening. We want you to know that The Joan Kenley Show brings you Conversation Radio that's co-created for your listening pleasure with our guests. You can find out more about Pamela Weiss and coaching information resources on my website, joankenley.com, K-E-N-L-E-Y. Huge thanks go to those who made this show possible, Peter B. Collins and Christy Healy. And here in the studio, Daniel Fletcher, engineer and technical producer. This is Joan Kenley inviting you to join us for more conversation in the weeks ahead.